clock has started. Right here.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Hey, Kenny.
Hi.
What's funny?
This is the third time we've
I think this is the show. I think our listeners are going to get the full feed on this one.
The whole thing?
Maybe.
The whole thing?
Maybe.
I don't know what to do here. Do we start over?
No. We're gonna keep going. We're gonna trudge through some headlines.
All right. Hey, Kenny, how are you today?
Feels like a day that just keeps repeating.
Almost like
day after day after day after day.
Almost like that 1998 movie, Groundhog's Day.
98?
Yeah.
No.
With Martin Short as TV producer, who keeps reliving the same day, when he goes to, he actually goes to this Pennsylvania city to cover.
Can you name the Pennsylvania city from Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Go ahead without looking it up.
Pittsburgh.
Oh no. Keep going. Keep trying.
Pitts.
Come on. One more try.
Pittsylvania.
No, wrong. Puxatony. It's called Puxatony Phil, Kyle.
What movie are you That's talking about? I don't know what. No. He goes to rescue a dog. It's like a small. For some reason, the dog doesn't want to come out of the cage, but everyone gathers in the city center.
Is this the movie where Tim Allen has a son who's actually like some native, like, savage boy, and he has to go onto the island, and then he has to put the face paint on and throw a spear
into his office. Yeah, he throws the spear into his office where he doesn't know what to do with his new son, but because he brought him from the wilderness, he's obsessed with Christmas, and he doesn't know why he keeps stealing toys from people, especially breaking windows when he throws bricks through them to steal the toys. It's really bad. It's really, really bad.
Okay. I should have told you. I'm preparing for my role as the Santa Claus, by the way.
Are you?
If you couldn't tell.
Well, no one can tell. This is not going out anywhere. We're eventually.
Oh, the video's not going anywhere.
Yeah, the video's not being.
The video's just for your
shown.
Your viewing pleasure.
It's not really. No, there's no pleasure. I'll let you know now. There's zero pleasure happening here. Both here, you can see in the video, both here and
no,
and
none of our listeners know where you're pointing.
And here. It's not happening there either.
No one knows.
It's not happening there either. Just,
hey, you want to do some headlines?
Sure.
These are today's headlines.
Hey, Kyle.
Huh?
Hey, Kyle.
Oh, me?
Hey.
You talking to me?
Hey, what's up? No, I'm going to tell you, Kyle. Lyft and Waymo have reached a deal to collaborate on self-driving cars. seems like Lyft has taken the mantle away from Uber as the cool company, huh? What do you think?
I don't think anything. One, Uber can die in a fire, and two, what does this matter? We don't see this working anywhere, really. All Google is doing is putting.
Google is not in charge. Okay. Alphabet is
Waymo,
in charge.
Whatever. All they're doing is they're slapping wheels onto a giant Lego helmet and saying that it can drive itself without a steering wheel.
That's not Waymo.
And it doesn't look. Yes, it is. It's the same thing. Those are the same people that made the little self-driving car, and now they want to lift you.
Well, for one, Waymo is using Chrysler vans. Oh, the deal calls for companies to work together to bring autonomous vehicle technology into the mainstream through pilot projects and joint product development efforts. Or what it sounds like is, hey, Lyft, you have an awesome distribution system and we have the tech. Let's partner. That's what it is.
You've got a company that needs cars.
Not even partner.
We have cars.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Chrysler also be sort of in the mix if you're saying that they partnered with Chrysler, or they're putting it into Chrysler vans, or they're just stealing vans, or they're buying old Astro vans?
Yes.
And
Chrysler Astro vans. That's exactly what they are.
I don't think that's art. That's no. Chrysler didn't make Astro.
Have you ever ridden in an Astro van? It's just like a regular van, but the front end is weird.
It's short. It's real short.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a move. It's like a moving van without the U-Haul part.
What? U-Haul people. Oh boy. Moving on, because Kyle doesn't care anything about that story. And because you're going to hear a lot about it this week, I'm going to move on to Google's new AI tool turns your selfies into emoji. It lives inside the app that you all deleted months ago. Google Allo. You rub it on your skin, it turns you into emoji.
I don't have it.
Oh, well, Kyle, when you pull up the list of stickers you can respond to someone with, there's an option called, quote, turn a selfie into stickers. Tap, and it prompts you to take a selfie. Then Google's image recognition algorithms analyze your face, mapping each of your features to those in a kit. So I guess it puts it into a kit. And then the tool originated with an internal research project to see if machine learning could be used to generate an instant cartoon of somebody using just a selfie. And they were just fired, I'm sure. Hey, cool, you did that one thing. Great. Yeah, you're out.
That's not how jobs work.
Yeah, it is.
If you made something cool and then they're like, oh, let's turn that into a thing, then you're the one that gets the money from it. That is totally how it all works.
What money are they generating here?
Every time a person takes a selfie, money gets deposited directly into your bank account.
All right.
But so it looks like, unfortunately, it's all fake money, and it has the person's face that took their selfie in there.
It's cartoon money.
Yeah. You know what this sounds like? This sounds kind of like that face application that everyone was using to not really put an emoji on your face, but it would combine like your face with a grandpa face or your face with a baby face.
Oh, and just it would show you how you looked when you were old or how you looked when you were young.
I guess so. Yeah, I think that's what it was doing. It wasn't actually using the emoji to generate the image.
It was a template.
Some folks would take it to a museum and then find some scowling museum photos of people.
Oh, and make them smile.
Yeah, or paintings. I think that's what they call them. They call them paintings. They're they're old, the like
two-dimensional
old selfies. Like Mona selfies. Right, that's one.
It's a quote from Parks and Rec when Tom Haverford wants to take a picture of somebody. He goes, "Hey, can I take a Yui?" It's what I call a picture of someone else instead of a selfie.
I got it.
I'm gonna move on. Okay. I'm gonna move on here, Kyle. Tesla starts pre-orders on the solar roof that they announced last week, and it's gonna be $1,000 for that pre-order. And it rolls out a calculator for the costs it will cost. Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced on Twitter last Wednesday that the company's solar roof panels would be available for pre-order that afternoon. That's some pretty awesome announcement tech right there.
Twitter?
Twitter? No. The fact that he can announce it and then their site can just handle all the pre-orders. That's pretty good.
But when you know that there's $1,000 at stake here and that you have to have an actual house, it's not the whole internet.
I guess it does weed them out.
Yeah.
Well, that's Elon Musk's selective
weaning,
natural Muskin selection. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to call it. In a press conference Wednesday afternoon, Tesla and SolarCity executives said the roof would be cheaper on the whole than installing a regular tile roof, although not cheaper than an asphalt roof, which makes me think of like a skate park on your roof.
Wouldn't
that be awesome?
An asphalt roof.
Yeah. Be awesome. Anyway, Kyle, Tesla also rolled out a calculator on its website using data from Google Sunroof, a 2015 project from the search giant that used 3D modeling to map out every house's potential for solar panel output. Every house?
Yeah.
Like ever?
Yeah.
What?
It's a lot of houses.
I guess so.
But they did.
The calculator factors in the cost of a 14 kilowatt per hour power wall. Kilowatt hour power wall. Although purchase of a power wall is not required to get a solar roof, which I thought it was, as well as any tax incentive that a customer might receive in their state. The energy value number featured most prominently is calculated over 30 years, which is the length of the warranty covering power production from the tiles. They're offering an infinity warranty on the tiles themselves. That's nuts.
Is it though? What does he mean? What the heck does infinity warranty mean? It's not an infinite warranty, nor is it a warranty for infinity. It's an infinity warranty.
Right. If for some reason there's a cargo plane carrying infinity cars in the sky and they accidentally fall out a la Fast and Furious style and they crash into your roof, warranty.
Are we getting paid for all these placements here of both Chrysler and infinity cars in today's episode?
Tesla makes cars.
Tesla does in fact make cars, but I would not include they seem fully within our wheelhouse of technology and or junk that we cover here on this show.
You know that you can put junk in two trunks on the Tesla? The front and the back. That's it. That's all your headlines.
Kenny, today is also National Barbecue Day. How's that sound?
That sounds exactly like yours.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm finding it. I was mostly focused on the segments here. Let me find the actual sound.
Okay.
Here
stalling.
It is.
Stalling.
What?
Wait. Do it one more time. Let's harmonize.
What? It's not, we're not doing a very good job. We're really not doing a very good job.
No. And everyone has stopped listening.
They did most definitely have. In National Barbecue Day news, I have a couple of things I would like to talk about because you covered the.
Is that today or is that Tuesday?
It'd be Tuesday. Tuesday. Because that's when this episode's going out and I probably won't get it posted until tomorrow morning anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
I guess today is National Barbecue Day then for everybody listening.
That's exactly what I just said. Chick-fil-A. They're launching a new barbecue bacon sandwich. Click on this link. Look at the image first, and then read the first sentence to me.
Okay, I see the ooh, that looks not that bad. I mean, cheese isn't melted though. That's weird. Chick-fil-A is launching a new barbecue flavored sandwich. That sentence?
That's the sentence I'm looking for. Bingo. You get a point. You get a morning show point just for doing that. Good job. My issue with what was just said is barbecue flavored sandwich. It's not barbecue, nor is it barbecue sauce flavored. It is a barbecue flavored sandwich.
Right.
Can we determine exactly what would give you such barbecue flavor?
So the sandwich is a deconstructed charcoal briquette.
Okay, got it.
They sliced it in half.
Okay.
They set it on fire and they threw some bacon and some chicken in it.
Inside the briquette. So instead of buns, you have briquettes, basically.
Right.
It's like sliders, but it's two charcoal. It's one charcoal briquette cut in half, sliced in half. Is it the kind of charcoal briquette that if you touch, it just disintegrates? Or is it?
Do you want to know what I'm about to search Google for?
Charcoal briquette sliders.
Can you eat a charcoal
briquette? Now, I'm not going to food shame anyone who does, Kenny. Pica is a real thing. But I think if you ate a single charcoal briquette, one, it gets stuck. It would totes get stuck and you'd be blocked. You'd be blocked forever.
Okay, I have a list of things. I just want to say I need a gap of you not talking so I can just get all these things out.
Okay.
And I need you to just listen. First search result from July 17th, 2002. It's some post on elitefitness.com.
Hold on before you before you get started. Is this going to be scary or is it?
It's going to be hilarious.
Hilarious. You sure? I don't want to scare our listeners into or make them feel bad about things. You bring in good vibes?
Yeah, good vibes.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. The title of the Elite Fitness article is, "Can I Safely Eat a Charcoal Briquette?" Nope, that's stupid. Leaf TV. Is it normal that I eat charcoal straight out of the bag? I guess that's something. People also ask, is it bad for a dog to eat charcoal? Come on. Is there a difference between charcoal and activated charcoal? Why does my dog want to eat charcoal? Can you use regular charcoal for a face mask? Oh, jeez. Now it's all about dogs eating it. Okay, that's really all it is. Although I think we should find out if it is actually safe to eat charcoal briquettes.
I'm going to go on record saying it's not. Just one. It's not in the food section. I mean, you can buy it at a grocery store, but that does not mean it's inherently edible.
This is original poster says, "Can I safely eat a charcoal briquette? Just one for a bet. Will it harm me?"
Then
someone asks, "How much is the bet for?"
Oh boy.
Let's see. No one is offering a yes or a no. Everyone's saying like, "Well, you might feel bad after doing it."
So we can't.
How much is the bet?
Oh boy, we can't definitively say here on this show for our listeners whether or not they would get sick if they ate an entire bag of Kingsford charcoal briquettes.
So
you heard it here first on the Good Stuff Morning Show. The new Kingsford diet, does it work? Does the new Kingsford detox work?
Let me just really quick read. This is the last we'll talk about this. Someone posted, "Actually, you can. They make liquid charcoal for the sole purpose of ingesting to absorb poison. One piece is no big deal. It is organic. I work at an animal hospital. We give it to dogs all the time. If a dog can take a quart, a man can easily take a briquette. Before you state what you think is the obvious, the drugs, etc., used there are the same used in human medicine. For example, we used propofol, which is what they just used on Bush to make him go under for his surgery. What is happening? What was that run-on sentence?
You actually transported yourself to a webpage from 1992.
2002.
Oh, close. 10 years off. Not bad.
You're wrong, Bush.
Wrong. That's not the first time you've said that one today, Kenny. Bingo. Hey, speaking of barbecue, I've got one more thing here for you because, I really feel like we need to change the subject. I, like you said, wait, which intro did you say that where I went up north and then I came back? Was it the first or the third?
It doesn't matter, Kyle. You came up to Northern California this weekend.
I came up to Northern California and then drove back yesterday. And then I stopped for dinner, I guess, in the middle somewhere at a place called Bravo Farms. And the second link on the National Barbecue Day is the one I want you to click on. I had a burrito, and this burrito was not just any burrito. This was a Tex-Mex burnt ends burrito. It had the burnt ends of brisket and tri-tip in the burrito.
Okay. This is also posted by... let me get it closer to my mic.
Please, would you?
It's posted by somebody named Keaton. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. He says, pretty tasty, but not worth the $9.75 price tag, in my honest opinion, as it's about the size of a Taco Bell bean and cheese burrito.
It absolutely was not. It was probably just undersized Chipotle burrito, in my opinion.
Okay, so between the two.
Yeah, I did not have it outside of my body long enough to actually take a ruler to it. So I could tell you probably, I could have told you maybe a few hours ago, but.
Oh, gross.
But I can't tell you now.
Just goes in one piece, comes out one piece.
Yeah, two trunks. Can you remember? Two trunks.
That would be awesome if there's a portal in a Tesla where you put stuff in the front trunk and then it comes out the back trunk.
It's called a slide.
A slide.
So you put really big wheels on your Tesla and then you put a slide from one trunk to the other trunk that slides underneath the car.
How are you going to get up to the trunks? You're already lifted pretty high.
A ladder.
Oh, a ladder. That's right. Because that's what you keep in your
Tesla.
You
asked how you do it and I'm telling you how you do it.
Kyle, tell me what the universal thing is here.
Okay, so happy National Barbecue Day, Kenny. Go eat.
I'm going to eat some barbecue. Go eat a
briquette. Speaking of things that might kill you, I saw this on the TV. I was watching a lot of hockey recently, and watching it on YouTube TV is great. It's wonderful. A ringing endorsement here from me on that. But I saw a commercial for something that is about to open at Universal Orlando Resort, TM, called Universal's Volcano Bay. The grand opening is supposed to happen May 25th. And if you'd like to, you can click on that link I've got there with the full list of all of the rides and attractions that will grace this fine land very, very soon. But the one in particular that I'd like to talk to you about is something called the Kokiri Body Plunge.
Kokiri.
Yes. Okay. That's the one. Body plunge is the term I'd like to focus in on here. It says
from the makers of The Undertaker.
It's pretty. Yeah.
Point taken.
Sounds scary enough, just the words right there. Now, here's how they describe it, and I want you to listen carefully. Join in the centuries-old tradition of honoring the volcano god Vol by braving the incredible Kokiri Body Plunge, featuring a 70-degree fall through a drop door, 125 feet of white knuckle fun. They say this dizzying descent ends with a watery tribute from Vol himself.
Okay, so what's happening is I'm climbing 125 feet on this tower, standing on a trapdoor so that they can release the trapdoor. I fall, clutching something that's going to give me white knuckles, and then I'm going to fall into a pit of lava?
Pretty much. That's what it sounds okay, like.
Got it.
The image all they right. use in the commercial that scared the...
Scared the burnt ends burrito out of
you. Yeah, right out of me. It scared me so much. They show this probably 4.5 foot tall teenage girl getting into this tube, this clear glass tube, crossing her arms and about to be plunged into the body plunge. So they encase you in what looks like a clear coffin and or like those tubes where you would put your deposit slip at a bank when you're driving through, and then sucks you right down in there, and you plunge 70 degrees for 125 feet into the earth.
That was the exact inspiration for this. One of the ride designers was at the bank. He's going, "Ugh, I gotta go to the drive up window. I gotta send in one of these checks. Hold on, let's see. I gotta get the bottle. Let's see. I'm gonna put my check in here and close the door. Okay, cool. Let's just slide it back in. What if that went backwards into the earth? That was it.
I don't think you're not in any sort of movable vehicle that travels down that the length of that.
That's
that
what whole you thing. Made it sound like.
No, it's a free fall. It's a trap door and a free fall at 70 degrees. Okay. Can I just say this is not okay?
Like the Z-Max?
This is not okay. I don't care. I don't care how safe they make it. This is not okay. So don't ride it, people.
What it's called?
Maybe we should ride it. You want to go ride it? That's
yeah. I would do this.
I can't do it. I can't. It's a water park. It's a water park that's opening, and they think it's okay to make you drop 125 feet onto
VMAX.
Whatever.
That's what it was. Not ZMAX. VMAX.
Wrong letter.
Wrong letter. Let's see. VMAX. Oh, VMAX weight loss. Nope, that's not what
so
I want.
What are you talking about? What is this? What is this VMAX?
VMAX water slide.
Because we've talked about water slides on this. We've talked about water slides on the show before. We talked about one that was a complete loop, I believe. We've sort of scaled the water slide vertical and got to the top. Nothing has been as scary as this, though. What was VMAX?
Let's see. I'm looking up the statistics here. Lots of old websites, lots of old articles because this place closed in 2004. Definitely slowing down my computer that way. Yeah. There's a BuzzFeed article about 28 reasons Manteca Water Slides holds a special place in your heart. BuzzFeed. Sorry, I'm still looking for it. I'm still looking for VMAX stats. Anyway, it was a water slide where you went down maybe at a relatively similar angle and you crossed your arms and it would send you down. I don't know. I don't think it was 125 feet, though. I can't see it. I can't find the stat. Oh, well. Oh, 80 foot. Oh, my gosh.
See,
it's 50% higher than that.
That's what I'm saying. This is not. It's not OK.
Nope. Okiri, nope. More like no, Okiri.
Oh, boy. OK.
Oh, boy. Good. Let's move on.
Let's. I've got some fun facts for you.
Do it.
People eating in a group of seven or more eat twice as much as people eating alone. Now, that sounds like a duh, but I think what they mean is per person.
Oh, yeah. a person eating in a group of seven eats twice as much as if they ate alone.
Yes, it could be phrased better. I will say that.
Okay. I think we just cleared it up.
Do you find yourself feeling that way? Do you tend to consume more?
It's definitely social pressure.
Really?
Yes. If you see somebody eating more, like if you finish what you thought you were satisfied with and you see someone else eating and they're like, oh, you're not going to have any more? Kyle, the social pressure right there. Put it in your mouth. No. Eat it.
Eat
more.
That's you. I have audio of that exact moment. Yeah. I feel like I'm the opposite way. I'm more likely to pass the full threshold on my own and just power through and keep doing it.
Because no one's there to judge you.
And I also have three more burritos that I just bought and I need to, I can't keep them. I can't, that I had secret Taco Bell.
So let's put it this way. You and I have a weird, crazy similarity in that our spouse has learned to order more food for themselves because their spouse, us, will eat their leftovers immediately. Right? Is that correct? I'm not sure if it's a husband problem everywhere, but my wife now knows how much food to order so that she eats half and is satisfied, and then the other half just goes right into my mouth.
This is how I feel about it. It happens every time.
So I think I eat more when I'm eating with my wife than I would eating alone.
Okay. Because
and that's a lot of social pressure.
I understand what you mean now.
She's making me fat.
Good. Well, that's no. It's fine. It's good. Hey, speaking of eating, Cookie Monster. You know Cookie Monster, right?
Yes.
Well, before, and that's not Cookie Monster. That's not a good one. Before he started eating cookies, the Cookie Monster's name was Sid.
Was it spelled with a C?
No, S is for cookie. That's good enough for me.
Oh, that's stupid. S is for stupid.
And of course, because I feel like you're super huge. I feel like the only thing we've talked about in this episode is body plunges and food. Astronaut John Young smuggled a corned beef sandwich into space.
How do you smuggle anything into space?
It was on one of those first Gemini missions. So it wasn't like real space. You know,
hey, John, you doing okay in there? Yeah, I'm doing just fine. Yeah, I got
it was actually the corned beef was the thing that allowed us to reach those super high space heights.
Space dudes.
Yeah. You could have freeze dried it, maybe just like vacuum. Have you seen? You
like crunchy corned
beef?
Did
you do this in chemistry class and or physics and or probably chemistry? We had a vacuum chamber and we got a marshmallow and we put a marshmallow in the vacuum chamber and sucked all the air out of it. And it got real, real big.
Mm, that sounds a lot of fun. I had chemistry honors my sophomore year of high school. Uh-huh. We didn't touch any lab equipment ever. It was strictly lecture. And that's all we did. I hated it so much.
You could touch lab equipment, but never do lab.
No. There was absolutely no chemistry lab at our school.
No laboratory.
None. There was no fun.
I mean, books can be fun.
No.
Maybe.
We spent 8 months talking about molecules and the periodic table.
I'm sorry. Hey, speaking of things that could be potentially gross, Kenny, are you ready to play another round of Gordon Ramsay's Zero Ingredient?
Here we go.
I've got a new one for us to play.
Do you have a bumper to intro the segment?
Boo-doo, da, doo-doo, da, da, it's Gordon.
He might steal that one.
You like that one? Maybe. Yeah, he might steal that one. He's not that popular and he could probably use all the help that he could get. Right. So this is a new segment. We tried it out last time. It seemed to go over okay. People seem to like it. What you will do is you'll need to guess the dish that Gordon is making by only listening to the cooking sounds and the instructions that he gives you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This one runs a good 3 minutes and 24 seconds. It's one of the shorter ones I could find. But you need to tell me, and are you taking notes now? You're ready to go?
Notes.
Good, good, good. What is Gordon making? Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
It's hearty, delicious, robust, but served with some, it's almost like a complete meal in one. Starting with some finely chopped for my soup. Let's get some heat going early. These are, so they're smoky, rich. They don't come with any warning signal, and these are seriously hot. So be adventurous, but beware. A nice teaspoon of dried. Now start frying off the heat. You'll see the start swelling up, delicious. Be quite generous on it because that helps to blow out. But right now, those are on fire. We're gonna balance the sort of heat from the width. Turn up the heat and really start caramelizing it, and it gives off the most amazing aroma. Next, fry for a tablespoon of, add a cook and butter cover. There's something quite exciting about big and bold flavors, because in the restaurants you have to be somewhat controlled. You can't go crazy. So cooking these kind of dishes at home gives me that kind of release.
Particularly when they're dried, continue to swell and release their heat as they're cooked. So the longer you cook your dish, the hotter it will be.
But it's not as powerful as it needs to be yet. And every 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, that's just gonna get stronger, hotter, and more delicious. Bring that up to the boil and cook that out for 15 minutes.
Whilst I allow the heat to infuse, I'm gonna crack on with quick, crunchy, and a fabulously fresh and spicy, known in Mexico as. Start by finely dicing 3, 1 or 2, and half. Then chop a good handful of fresh. Add the juice from 2. And a drizzle of. For the, rub a little onto 6 large chopped bort. Sprinkle with and gently massage in. Cut each into triangles and spread them onto a baking tray. Bake for 3 to 4 minutes in a preheated oven, 180 degrees, until golden brown and leave to cool. To complete my, I need to finish my deliciously fragrant.
The spice is there. It is absolutely spot on. Now for the cooling down process.
The Mexicans are brilliant at building layer upon layer of flavor with delicious and, but they're also experts at tempering their dishes with cooling ingredients like and.
That's why you can take that amount, got that spoon of richness, spice, all of a sudden, almost like a little fire blanket over those.
To further counter the heat, Mexicans use a rich, tangy, crumbly, but I'm sprinkling on, which is a great British substitute. And last but not least, cooling fresh.
One delicious, spicy. Serve that with your senor salsa. A phenomenal blend of textures and layers and spice and creaminess. Big, bold, and delicious.
All right. What'd you get?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. So
let's walk through this. Let's walk through this. What'd you hear?
Onions.
Okay, a lot of, okay, chopping, good.
And lime.
Okay, lime, you, okay.
Pretty, later on I heard, I know he had put sour cream.
Okay, to cool it down, something. Right? To cool it down.
Sure. Okay, so my initial thought is something like stuffed peppers.
Okay.
Is that anywhere near?
Something hot. Is this an official guess?
I have two guesses. That's okay. Guess number one.
I'm not, hold on. I'm the one who says that you have two guesses.
Well, I have another guess.
Okay. You're going to give me both no matter what.
Yeah. The other guess is, It's a brand new dish. Ramsay probably invented it. Mexican lasagna.
That's a really good guess. Okay. on the Mexican lasagna. And what was the first guess?
Stuffed peppers.
Also very wrong. So I gave you a couple hints.
Hardly.
Listen, couple hints in there.
He was listening.
He was talking a lot about chilies. He said soup. He did say soup somewhere in there.
He said soup?
Yeah, he said soup.
What's British for soup?
It has only a U.
Don't bother.
Only has a U. It's S-U. All right, so you're wrong.
What is it?
The dish that Gordon Ramsay was making is spicy Mexican soup with tortillas and salsa. So he walked through. Yes, exactly. He walked through cooking the peppers, making the chips. He put them in the oven. Slice them in triangles. Yeah, triangles. Yeah. And then the salsa.
Okay. Great.
Three tomatoes, pico de gallo.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice work. Good job. I think you did really bad.
I think the point of this segment is to absolutely infuriate me.
Yeah, good.
Because I love Gordon Ramsay and I love when he cooks, but you're stealing all the good parts of it away from me. And then you watch me react, and that's your favorite part.
Oh. Yeah, it is. It is my favorite part to to see get really mad about some things that we're doing on the show.
I might throw up.
Which usually
to is, stop this.
Is not only
guys. Can you hear the delight that he's getting from this?
The Gordon Ramsay segment. It can be for fun
and
stuff.
How
Kenny,
opposed I am
like
to
this.
Up down, funk you up. 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 I said up down, funk you up. Up down, funk you up. Up down, funk you up. Up down, funk you up.
Kenny, it's time for another round of upvote, downvote. I don't know if you saw this one on the internet today. Not hot dog. It's an app that shows if your food is a hot dog or not.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
Yes, I did see this. This is a parody app from Silicon Valley, the show.
Was I not supposed to know that? On the HBO, yeah?
On the Hubbo.
Okay. Did you try it? Did you download it? Did you see whether or not your dog was a hot one?
I think you're supposed to swipe on it.
Do you swipe on a dog? It's hot or not, right? That's what this is.
Oh boy.
Dogs. Hot or not? Hot dogs or not?
Who does this scream at the beginning of this song?
There's no screams.
Yeah. You gotta. Can you start screams. No.
There's no screams.
Okay.
So go get this app. It'll be in the show notes, of course. It's called Not Hot Dog, Kenny.
Upvote merely for the fact that they went the extra mile, the show did, to create the actual app. Even if it doesn't work, that's good marketing.
I think it says this right when you take the photo of it.
Oh, that's a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Should have waited for that buildup.
Right.
Oh, that's a hot dog.
I'd have to really time it. I don't know if I could do that. Let's go get that app. Kenny, I've got another one for you. The upvote.
Yeah.
Burger King is offering free Whoppers for life to anyone with this surname. We're gonna do this Jeopardy style. Kenny, can you guess? What is, and then you fill in the blank.
What?
What is Perea?
Burger King.
It's not Burger King. Nope. Sorry. That's that's very wrong. In Argentina, the surname Perea, which translates as grill, if you're wanting to, you know, talk about briquettes and barbecuing, has reportedly stigmatized a whole group of people who share the name and have been subjected to countless puns about meat. And so I guess Burger King's latest campaign is to make up for some of that meat bullying against folks with that last name. And you can get free Whopper burgers for the rest of your life.
Perea.
Yeah. I think it's just one R. So don't roll so hard.
There's two R's in there. In one of them.
Well, don't blame me.
I think Burger King is trolling the people with that name. They're like, does it have two still, R's?
Continually. Yeah. Over yeah. and over and over yeah, again. Yeah, yeah. Just like, forever.
And they show up to the Burger King. They say, hey, I my last name's Perea. Can I get a free Whopper? They say, oh, sorry, it's two R's. And they say, really? And they say, yes, two R's.
Okay.
And then someone with two R's comes in. Hola, two R's in my name. And then the Burger King goes, sorry, just one R, like in burger. Actually, there's two R's in burger. Oops.
That okay.
Surprise.
There's two R's in burger. Okay. Boy. Let's wrap this one up, huh? Last little bit of a segment here. Stadium food.
Oh no.
Let's just do this. Ready? Stadium food. We're good. We're good. I won't do it again. I promise.
You're a liar.
I won't do it. I won't. Listen.
You're such a liar. Kenny, it's going to go
Kenny,
back to.
No, no, no. Kenny, I won't. No. I won't do it again. I promise. Okay.
I saw right through you.
I won't do it again. Okay. It's a newly minted segment that examines the culinary gold mines of sports stadiums. Okay. And this is, of course, If you would, go follow at Ballpark Foodbot on Twitter.
You can't get enough of that one, can you?
No, I cannot. I like at least three a day. It's real, real good. Now, Kenny, this comes to us from good old Angel Stadium in Anaheim, California.
Hey, guess where I'm going this weekend?
Really?
If this picture is true, I'm going to book myself a one-way ticket
to Anaheim. So you can go and get yourself the red velvet brownie ice cream sandwich.
Okay. All right. I got a couple things to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, these look like they're half red velvet. These ice cream sandwiches.
Okay.
One half is chocolate, one half is red velvet. And I understand red velvet is kind of chocolate, but make the whole thing red. It's Anaheim.
Okay. Like the ice cream too?
No. Because the colors are red and white. So the vanilla in the middle.
Show me on the ice cream where it's red.
No. It's on the bottom. Forget it.
It's supposed to be red velvet brownie, right? The brownie itself should be red velvet.
Yeah, but there's also brown brownies. Brownies.
Uh-huh. Brownies. Yeah.
Forget it. I've lost it. I just want to eat it. It's like a towering inferno of chocolate and red velvet ice cream.
Yes, they say it's like a Jenga tower. The sandwiches filled with vanilla and chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream are stacked, they say.
No. Chocolate chip cookie dough?
The tower is drizzled with hot fudge and served with fresh whipped cream and swish meringue.
Swish meringue.
Which I don't know what that is, but...
That's a typo, right?
Is it, though?
Swish meringue? It's not a basketball team.
It could be.
Uh-oh. Time for bed.
Is it?
That's what my watch tells me.
Okay.
It's the boss of me.
Your boss, your watch boss says.
Watch boss.
Hold on. What watch are you wearing? Can you show me one more time? This, of course, has been the Good Stuff Morning Show on my favorite podcast network, goodstuff.fm, because that's where I am right here. Kenny, it's probably your least favorite now, but if you would, you can go over to goodstuff.fm/shows, check out some of the other great shows here on the network. And you can, of course, also check out, there's a link directly to the page on that same website, goodstuff.fm/support, where you can see some awesome ways to help us out. Gives us either a little bit of a kickback and or lets you give your hard-earned dollars straight to a show of your choice. Follow Kenny on Twitter. He's Kenny A. Roderick. Still, somehow, I am Dog Burps. And, of course, the show is Morning Show AM on Twitter. Kenny's just looking. He's looking back. He's leaning back. He's just like, I'm done. I'm finished.
Bedtime.
It's bedtime for him. Wish him a good evening and a good sleep. And we'll see you back here next week. Have a wonderful week. Until then.
Go eat some red velvet.